All right, we will open the special commission meeting. It's 3 p.m. December 5th, 2011. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're meeting today on the 12th floor of the state capitol in the commission hearing room for this special meeting. We have one. Oh, first, I should, for the record, this is Tony Clark, and let my fellow commissioners identify themselves.
Good afternoon, Kevin Kramer.
Good afternoon, Brian Cole.
Very good. There is one item on the agenda. It is in Commissioner Kramer's portfolio.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and make the motion, and then we can discuss the motion and the order. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order issuing certificate of corridor compatibility number 127 and route permit number 136 to Bakken Link Pipeline, LLC, for the construction of approximately 144 miles of crude oil pipeline in Billings, Dunn, McKenzie, Stark, and Williams Counties, North Dakota, case number PU-10218.
Second. For second discussion.
All right. What this is this is the line that was originally intended to be a Bakken Link from McKenzie County down to all the way down to Baker, Montana, with an on-ramp onto the proposed Keystone XL. And it was then modified after there was some concern of the some possibility that the XL might not get built, and they shortened it to have it end at Fryeburg, North Dakota, where there is also proposed the construction of a rail facility that would take the Bakken crude to market from Fryeburg, but then, of course, the possibility when there's more certainty surrounding the Keystone XL that the Bakken Link could then become that on-ramp for 100,000 barrels per day. It is a 100,000 barrel per day proposed line. Ultimately, it wouldn't initially have 100,000 barrels, but at any rate, we've had the hearing on the case. It was a hearing in Watford City. We did have some late filed exhibits that we requested, about three of them, and about two and a half of them have come in. I say two and a half because the one that we are still waiting on is a Class 3 cultural resource study on about 8.5 miles of the 144. And, of course, now with the snowfall, they won't be getting out there to do that. And there were some issues surrounding access to the land earlier and whatnot. The company then requested, asked if we would consider an order that would be contingent on receiving that final Class 3 cultural resource study, and then, of course, the sign-off by the State Historic Preservation Officer. The State Historic Preservation Officer did respond to the cultural, the 1 and 2 and the interim studies, but, of course, can't sign off until there's level 3 cultural resource study. So we've done contingencies before on pipeline orders. However, that's always a contingency based on a permit or certificate by some other governing agency. It might be a federal agency, it might be a local agency, whereas cultural resource studies actually become our evidence. So feeling a little bit of discomfort about a contingent order, the company proposed, and our staff has worked on this order, which is not contingent on receiving the cultural three favorable cultural three or level three cultural resource study, but rather a citing all but the 8.5 miles and then another 2.5 miles or so of the line. So of the 144, there'd be 133 of the miles that would be cited, that would be given an order and a permit and a certificate for corridor compatibility. The rest would not, so that all of the line that is approved would be line that does meet the criteria, and all of the evidence would be in and complies with the rules of the evidence. So that's what this motion does. It provides that order. Now, it's a funny way to build a pipeline, but at the same time, it's not my pipeline, and if they comply with the 133 miles, and I don't have any real compelling reason that I can think of not to support it, is kind of maybe unusual as it might be. I had recalled that we'd done this before. We had some precedent. The one recollection I had, of course, was the electric transmission line, the Barnes County to Maple Valley substation line, where we where we sited nearly all of it but left out a mile or so in the middle until a reroute was determined. Some issues worked out with some landowners in the middle, and then did that. I had sort of recalled this TransCanada Keystone issue, although it didn't seem quite as analogous, and after Pat dug it out, I think at Tony's request, it's almost more like a contingent order that I wasn't recalling, that we issued the order for the Keystone, but then didn't allow construction in a certain part of it until we had more information on how they would go under the Cheyenne River, probably one of the more controversial areas of that particular road. So anyway, those are the facts sort of laid out. While it's a little bit peculiar, I'm willing to support the order as it is.
Go ahead.
Tom. Oh, I was just going to say this will probably be a little different than some of our work or our special meetings because we haven't had a work session on this yet. So we're sort of talking through this perhaps more than
we had a work session on it initially.
Initially we did, but since this order's come out, we haven't had a work session. So anyway, Brian, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. We'll have it our turn.
Yeah, I have to say I have some concerns about forwarding it through like this. My actual recommendation today is going to be to hold this over for some period of time because I don't think it's ready for prime time yet. Basically what happened, which is something that, I mean, it really hasn't happened before in a case that I can think of, is that there was a late filed exhibit, a late bit of information after the hearing that the company was supposed to submit, and it was this cultural resource study, which includes a number of phases. One of them is actually a pedestrian survey where they go out and walk it. As the filing came in, they called it an interim report. In other words, it wasn't a final cultural resource study, which is the sort of thing that we usually need to make a determination. And there are, you'll see listed in the proposed order, 24 different tracts of land. I think Kevin said it's about 8 miles that they haven't gotten to yet for whatever reason. And it's not contiguous either. It's in all little different portions of the line, so it chops it up. And the reason that I have a concern about going that direction in this order, which would be a bit groundbreaking, is the precedent that it does set later on, which I think it cuts against two things. One is the Siting Act contemplates an orderly and efficient siting process for the benefit of the public, really, at the end of the day. And to cite lines in which a utility would have the ability to build large portions of it, but not little portions of it in the middle, seems to cut across the idea that there be orderly development. The other reason that I have some concern is a much more practical issue, and I'm not saying that this would be the case in this particular instance, but I don't want to get into this as a possibility in future transmission lines or pipelines. The utility companies often have difficulties with regard to easement negotiations. That's something that's outside of the commission's purview. Access to land, whether they get an easement, so on and so forth. That's something between landowners, companies, and ultimately the courts, potentially through an eminent domain proceeding. And so we try to keep a firewall. The concern could become, especially when you have a very, very narrow corridor, which is what this is designated as, a 200-foot corridor, where you're essentially taking the corridor and the route at the same time, is you just, as a commission, if you put a document that says, here's where the line is, and for you 8 landowners or 10 landowners, whatever, and here's exactly where it's legally sited to coming into your property and where it's legally sited to going off of your property, it seems to put the thumb of the commission in a way that maybe it perhaps shouldn't in a landowner utility company negotiation. In other words, a land person could use the commission order to kind of leverage, if you will, negotiations with private landowners. And I have a concern about that. In past cases, probably the most on-point one is the one that Kevin had mentioned, which is the Minn Kota situation. That was a 6 and in some case 7 mile corridor. So you had a large tract of land in which you could ultimately route something through. As I said, can I say that that's what is at work here? I don't know. But could I see it potentially be something in the future where utility companies come in and say, well, we're just going to site portions of line, the easy portions of line that we know about, with gaps, in some case maybe significant gaps, in the middle of that line because they don't have the information that they need. I think that's a possibility, and it's not a precedent that I want to set. So would I like to necessarily vote against this order? No, because I think it might send a little bit too strong a message in the other way, that I do think the project is ultimately a good one, which is why I'm recommending that we hold it over until they can get the record supplemented as it should have been. But their failure to provide the information to us is their problem. It's not our problem as a commission.
What I would say is that I really want to thank the company for putting in some of the language, and our staff, of course, too, about the additional pipeline safety features. We talked about that a little bit last week. Making sure they comply with the North Dakota One Call, making sure they do all the things required by, U.S. DOT. And also, I would say, a relatively new provision to make sure the emergency response plan is prepared in accordance with local and working with local authorities and first responders, because the pipeline safety is always important. But this is one that covers a lot of ground, a lot of sensitive areas. So I like that part of it, but I would agree with I guess my thoughts were the same thing, that I was concerned about the orderly development and also the narrow corridor. So I also would prefer not to vote on this today and to hold it over, because if asked to vote today, I'm not sure that I'd be able to support it. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I do really want to get this pipeline built because of the truck traffic going down the road.
Well, it's 500 trucks a day down the Highway 85 corridor. But the line can't be. The line's not scheduled to be built till next spring, so it's not like we're going to take those.
The 500 trucks would exist regardless, because they're not going to build a.
Right.
Not going to ship oil over a pipeline that has 8 mile gaps in it.
Right. Precisely. I understand, and that's part of what makes me a little uncomfortable with it. That's Tony's argument. Although at the same time, once you've gotten on the slippery slope, the standard kind of becomes where is the line that we're going to draw to make the point. And quite honestly, I think moving oil into market out of North Dakota is a little higher priority than moving wind from Barnes County to Mapleton. And so, to me, there's a higher, while there's a different, probably, environmental standard, there's a higher needs standard that this one meets. And the company's asked to do it. I think all the risk is on them. I'll be honest, as I've said to Pat, I'd love to be the person negotiating the last 8 miles. if this thing gets, but that's not, again, that's not my problem. I wish it was my land, and so I get all of that. Well, if I don't have one other vote to pass this out, we can hold it over, but I don't know how much time we're going to hold it over. And quite honestly, my sense is that we could, the other risk we run is by not providing the certainty and sending the signals out there for orderly development, especially pipeline development. There's a lot of landowner fatigue with pipelines right now, and including gathering lines, especially gathering lines right now. And I'm picking up a lot of concerns by companies about whether they're going to be able to build shorter lines, gathering lines. Even counties and townships have grown very fatigued by it all, and they've just sort of called for a timeout in some regards. And while I understand their frustration, at the end of the day, not building pipelines is the worst thing that we can do for orderly development and safety, quite honestly. And not that you guys are advocating not building pipelines. I don't mean to imply that, but I'm afraid that that can be a possible outcome in all of this. So I support the this order, but if I can't get a second vote, we'll.
I think for me it's just a matter of it's that natural tension between pushing the envelope forward on building our pipelines to doing our job of orderly development. This one with the 24 different sections that we really don't know what's going to happen, the narrow corridor. I think that's inherent to making sure this sorts itself out the right way for the landowners, as well as the people that drive the trucks, as well as the other issues at play. So if the company can come back and give us the answers to the questions we asked after the work session, we could vote on this very quickly.
Yeah, passing this order today wouldn't slow down or speed up the project whatsoever, because they're not going to be able to have a line that, as I said, has 8 mile gaps in it. So they want the piece of paper for some reason. They haven't fully explained why they have wanted to push it forward in chunks. I think the intent of the act would seem to tip in favor of orderly development, which means not giving companies rights to build pipelines to nowhere, which if you leave large chunks in it, you have done. And the other is, I think we do send a little bit of a dangerous precedent for the future, companies coming in and trying to cite piece portions of projects that ultimately individually wouldn't go anywhere, but put together are good projects. Ultimately, it's the applicant's job to provide us a record that allows us to put out an order. And in this case, they haven't done that to this point. And so they've asked us to modify and create a sort of a three-quarter pipeline site. And it's just not territory that I want to get into with utility developers.
Well, okay. I think it's territory we've already wandered into, and now we're going to try to find the line to draw. And, but at any rate, it is what it is, and so I'm happy to withdraw it, the motion, if Brian wants to withdraw the second, and then we can hopefully get on the...
I would withdraw the second.
Okay. All right. I have nothing else.
Very good. If there's nothing else for the agenda, that closes the meeting. Thank you.
Do you want to ask any questions, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
We can still have questions.
We can still close the meeting.
We can close the meeting.
Just a couple of clarifications. Saying this was supposed to go to Baker, Montana.
The original letter of intent included a line that this line plus about another, I think, 130 miles or whatever it is to Baker, which then would be an on-ramp onto the Keystone XL. The Keystone XL had agreed to 200,000 barrels per day of excess capacity for Bakken crude. The Bridger line, which we previously cited and has been built, and I believe is actually moving oil now, it has the same capacity. So those two lines would have filled that 200,000 barrel per day capacity onto the XL. The Bridger line, of course, has some advantages in that the true company that owns it, the Belfouche Pipeline Company, already has lines from Baker down to Guernsey, and they feed that market. Of course, they're a Wyoming company. This would be the second. But when the XL was clearly becoming problematic politically, rather than just scrapping the entire Bakken link altogether and just throwing all that work out the window and that early investment, they decided to shorten the Bakken link, especially when rail became such a viable option. So they shortened the Bakken link, get it, you know, basically halfway to Baker, Montana, and get a running start on that potential.
So the company hasn't indicated to you why they want this now, even though the 8 miles is still in play.
I don't believe I've received any filing at all or any information.
No, they've never. I don't know that they've ever filed anything. I mean, my sense of it is that the certainty of a certificate of some sort or a permit has value. Obviously, I mean, as I was just telling you about the Bakken link and the on ramp and the, you know, sort of the race, if you will, to get that 100,000 barrels onto a bullet line down to the Gulf Coast where they're paying a $15 per barrel premium might have something to do with it. You know, that there is a sense of who gets there first, that it becomes competitive. It's not our job to get it, you know, to help one company be more competitive than another company. So I don't know the specific reason, but I think it's the kind of thing, frankly, that, you know, it was that one more regulatory hurdle that you can get over, at least demonstrate some progress with, that has value in the marketplace of, you know, whether it's open seasons, whether it's capital, you know, financiers, whatever it might be.
Now, you mentioned it was a level 3?
Phase 3 cultural resource. That's, as Tony called it, that's the pedestrian study. There's
Class 3.
The Class 3. The early class 1, for example, is a data search. Class 2 is a little more intense than the Class 3 is when there's a pedestrian or when you walk onto the land. The challenge for that, of course, and I suspect the issue, is getting on the land. So if you have a landowner that's a holdout and whatever the case may be, and I don't know those situations, like Tony said, those aren't really our purview, and we frankly try to stay as far away from them as we can so as to not indicate that it is ours.
And where is this 8 miles?
It's scattered throughout.
It's not just contiguous.
Yeah, we still have, I would say, we still have information that we've requested in the work session. I think we need to get back to. I asked for a map of showing me exactly where those 24 different spots are on. So to look at that would be a very good visual to see. It's very piecemeal throughout this section.
We do
and
have
to me
that,
that,
though, right? That.
We have the map of the 8.5 miles worth, mm-hmm. showing the areas. the other 2.5 miles, I don't think it would happen.
Yeah, and to me that was one of the defining differences between this and the...
This has been one spot.
The one, case which is at least somewhat applicable, which was the Minn Kota transmission line, which was it was one contiguous area, one particular township, a huge corridor, 6 or 7 mile corridor, so that there were alternatives for the utility company to take, and we were waiting on that last bit of information on the alternative proposed route. This was hopscotch. I mean, just totally unconnected pieces of land, little tiny parcels here and there, 24 different location descriptions in total covering 8 miles, but widely scattered throughout the line, in a 200-foot corridor. So what you'd have then is, you know, the potential for the company to go to the landowners who maybe have not granted easements yet and say, here's the 200 feet that the state has said it's going to come onto your land. Here's the 200 feet that the state has said it's going to leave your land. Here's the piece of paper. As I said, it does create the potential for a commission document to tip the scale, as it were, a little bit on a landowner. And it's one of the things utility companies... it's probably a reality of having narrower corridors. Now, there are good reasons why we sometimes have approved that. Part of it is to do with the change in state law. But it does create increased risk for the company when there's not wiggle room.
Like I said, I'd like to be that landowner. That becomes a pretty valuable 200-foot piece.
So, actually, though, the onus is back on the company.
They just have to
get this thing done or get some more information.
Yeah, and the problem is that there's snow on the ground now, so you can't do a class 3 pedestrian cultural resource study.
But this particular case has quite a history, though, because we had this initially scheduled up in Watford City. Then it was delayed because of additional information. Then we held the hearing. So it's not like this is by any means a new issue for them to get access for these reasons, for whatever it might be. So this has been a long time coming. But the end state is they still have to do it the right way, get us the information so we can make the decision.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.